I need Christian Franklin. Come on up here. All right, let's get started because we have a long journey ahead of us. I have some good news and I have some bad news. Well, it's not really bad news, but it's not as good as the good news is. Okay. The good news is that you have won a free trip to Disneyland. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? The not so good news is that you have to walk there. Now, it's only about 2,200 to 2,300 miles. But people have done it before. You can do it too. So, all right, I would like for you guys to point to where Disneyland is. Is it over there? Okay, where is it? Point that way. Okay, actually, it's not. Let's ask the congregation to help. I would like for all of you to point towards Disneyland, please. That way, that way, that way, that way. All right, who's right? Oh, it's hard to tell, huh? All right, what are we missing? We need something that can show us where Disneyland is. What are we missing, Christian? A map. Oh, good. You know what? I did bring one of these up here. All right. I got here a map that'll show us the way. We're all the way over here. Disneyland is all the way over here. All right. So you know where Disneyland is now, right? It's in California. That's right. All right. Now point to it. No. Point which direction? Is it over there? Or over there? It's over there. Who's right? We're missing one more thing. A compass. Here, Christian, hold the map for me, please. A compass. I have a compass here in my pocket. All right. So, we have a compass and we have a map. What we're going to do is we're going to orientate the compass with the map, all right? And the compass is saying that the map should turn this way. Make sure that the metal's not affecting it. And that is north. That means California is that way, all right? So, all right, I want you guys to get ready. Make sure you don't have flip-flops on, but go ahead and get ready and head off to your class, and then we'll get going soon. Give them a hand. That is going to be one long journey. 2,300 miles. That's not bad. Yeah, that is long lines. All right. Have you guys ever been on a long journey? I've been on some long journeys. Have you ever been lost before? Lost is not a fun feeling. That is one of the things that you sit back and you look at yourself and go, how am I going to get out of this? How many of you guys, it's hard for men to be lost, yes. you can always find your way sometimes, right? Whenever you're lost, there's a couple things that you're looking for. You're looking for landmarks. You may be looking for a map and compass. How many of you guys have, when you were lost, wish you had a map and compass? Well, and some of you are probably saying it still wouldn't help. But this is sort of when I was preparing. The Holy Spirit was telling me, you know, was reminding me of the story of Pilgrim's Progress and how Christian, this is a story of Christian as he's going through life. A man named Christian lived in the city of destruction, and he was dressed in rags. He read the book about the coming destruction and judgment. He had a great burden upon his shoulders that he longed to have removed. Christian cried in despair and wondered how he could be saved from the coming judgment when a man named Evangelist came along and showed him the way to go. Along the way, Christian's neighbors, pliable and obstinate, caught up with him. They did not understand why he was leaving or where he was going. Pliable decided that he was going to join Christian on his journey, but eventually he abandoned him when it got tough and went back to the city of destruction. The title of this sermon is, "We Are on a Journey." Everyone on earth is on a journey, and there are two destinations that we are bound for. It's kind of narrow. The world wants to say, oh, there's many different destinations, but there's only two if we read. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Christian was on that journey. He understood from reading in the book that there was the city of destruction was going to be destroyed, and that there was going to be a judgment. And he felt the weight on his back that he said would take me lower than the grave. And so he was on that journey. And even though he had the book, he did not know where to go. Evangelists had to come along and show him and point him in the way to go. Have you ever noticed that people read the Bible, but they don't always come to the same conclusions? A lot of people will say, oh, I read the Bible, and I can't get past all the battles and the things that Jesus is telling me to do. I don't see it. But then you have somebody else that'll read the Bible, and it's like pouring water into a thirsty soul. It reminds me of Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees. Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6 says, "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which was lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or evil, to save a life or kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and the hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians on how they would kill Jesus." Pastor spoke a few weeks ago on overcoming anger, and this is one of the scriptures that he used about how anger, you know, Jesus used it not as a sinful anger, but as a righteous anger, because he knew what they were doing in their hearts. What was Jesus' reactions to the Pharisees? It was that righteous anger. What were the Pharisees thinking when Jesus did what he did? They said, he is breaking the law. He should die. Both of them were teachers of the law. They both had the law right in front of them. But there was something different about what they both were reading. Jesus understood the hearts of the people, the Pharisees and his disciples, and he spoke to them in parables. Matthew chapter 13, 10 through 17 says, "The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And this is key. For the people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you have seen, but did not see it, or hear what you have heard, what you hear, but did not hear it. What was missing? What was missing between what Jesus was doing and what the Pharisees was doing? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Today, you know, in during the worship service, I prayed that the Holy Spirit would come and would fill this place. We need a guide in our journey. Jesus was the perfect example of how we are to walk with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, after being baptized by John, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Think about that. Full of the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he was tempted for 40 days. He overcame temptation with the Spirit and the Word. Jesus longs for us to walk in the Spirit as he did. John chapter 20 says, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and after greeting them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." He breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has led me through many different journeys in my life. I'm still young. I'm almost about to turn 40. So I consider myself still young. But I can look back on my life and see where God has taken me. I remember the first time I felt the Holy Spirit calling in my life. I'm wearing a Royal Ranger uniform. I was 15 years old. The day after I turned 15 was the first day I went to my first Royal Ranger class. I remember getting the handbook, looking through it, and going, "Oh man, this is great! I can do this." And I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, "You are going to do this." That was December 15th, 1993. This December, it'll be 25 years. And I've seen where God has taken me through my life. And the things he has used in my life, whether it was Rangers or church, and I've seen doors open and I've seen doors closed. He speaks to us through closed doors. Do you understand? Sometimes we have a thought in mind that I'm going to do that, but the door closes. I've had that happen. When I was young, in my early 20s, I thought I was going to be a California Highway Patrolman. You know, that was the job that I wanted. I saw that and I was like, yes. So I became an explorer. I started going through the processes, but doors started to close. California couldn't keep a budget. The governor was kicked out of office. We hired the governator to come in. But through that closed door was an opportunity. Bonnie and I caught up with each other. We had known each other for a few years, and she was moving to Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was like, oh, so I, you know, I had some other things that I was trying to do, but those doors closed. And we decided, you know what, we're going to get married. And so I started looking at the Carolinas, and I made that trek from California all the way over here. And I was thinking to myself, this is crazy. I'm leaving my state. I'm leaving my family. I'm moving across the country. Am I going to regret this? Is this going to be something that will I eventually come back and be like, oh, you know, I'm back. I'm sorry. You know, it was a real fear in my life. But along the way, I can see where God was leading me and how things were being put in my path to help me, because the Holy Spirit was leading me here. There were other opportunities that came along where the Holy Spirit said, hey, I'm going to come in and help you. And that was in choosing where to buy a house. And we were looking in one side of town and saying, oh, this is where we're going to be for quite a while. And, you know, we make plans. Those doors kept closing. And we're like, wow, this is strange. Why is this happening? And we ended up on the very opposite end of town. And we bought a house. And we're like, okay, I guess this is where God wants us to be. Ended up about six months later, my work moved from the side of town that I wanted to be on to the side of town where I ended up living. I can look back and see where God has taken me. He is continuing to lead me. I can make all the plans that I want, but he says, I've got a plan. I want you to follow me. We are also not alone in the journey. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Are you ready for that journey? That's a loaded question. God does not want us to wander aimlessly through life. He has a plan for our lives. He wants us. He wants to use us. Just like what Pastor was saying this morning. What is your plan for my life? That's what you need to ask him. What is your plan? I can have all the plans in the world. I can make plans. But if you've lived long enough, you can see that sometimes those plans don't happen. It could be that, you know, God is wanting to take you in a different direction, take you to the other side of the country. I know many of us here have moved. It's scary. You know, it could be work took us or family moved us. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in our lives. Do you have the map? Do you have the compass? The map is useless unless the compass is orientated with the map. This is our map. The Holy Spirit is our compass. If the Holy Spirit orientates us to his word, we will find the way. We will not lose our way if we are oriented with the word and the spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and guide your life? All you have to do is ask. Christian made that journey. And in Pilgrim's Progress, he ended up at the cross. That was just the beginning of the journey. At the cross, his burden was taken from him. It rolled off his back, and it was never seen again. The rags were stripped from him, and he was given new clothes. How many of you guys can relate with Christian? Are you at the beginning of the journey where you have read the word and it says that there is a coming destruction and a judgment and you have no idea where to go? Are you going along the way and there are things in your path that are stopping you from getting to the cross? All you have to do is ask. Pastor referenced Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All you have to do is ask. You may say, I have done that. I'm a Christian. But I want to be led by the Spirit. All you have to do is ask.